We're thankful to Almighty God for waking us up this morning. We're thankful that God has put food on our table. We're thankful for a roof over our head, shoes on our feet, and clothes on our back. And I don't take it for granted when I say God is good, and he's good all the time. He did not have to wake us up this morning, but we see a brand new day, the Lord's Day. And this is a day that we will never see again. But he woke us up, he brought us here, and we are thankful. I am thankful that your preacher and the leadership here reached way down and asked me to come. I was beginning to think that Brother Brown had lost my number. And, I heard the good things about you all coming over to Sandy Lane. And I heard about the building from some of my preaching friends. And I got jealous. And heard about how beautiful it is. And the truth wasn't told. It's more beautiful than they told me. This is wonderful. This is outstanding. I know it's been a long time coming. And God has been good. It's just good to be here with Brother and Sister Brown. And I could just preach just all day just talking about what they mean to Sister Crusoe and I when we were in Hopewell. And not only then, but ever since we've left, Brother Brown, I've cried on his shoulders many of nights. And he's always been encouraging. I admire him, and Sister Crusoe admires Sister Brown. And I just don't know where my ministry would be without Brother Joseph Brown. He's just been a blessing to me and helpful in my ministry. And I just feel honored to be here on today. And then the good Richmond singing. I just hope y'all don't take it for granted, because if you go other places, they don't sing like y'all sing. And we always have enjoyed Lauren, and Lauren just, he's so smooth. And it just comes so natural. And it takes everything I got just to... And but he makes you feel so comfortable. I started to grab the mic and join him and Brother Burton. You know, they look so good up here. I thought I'd make it a trio. And but I said, if I come up here, y'all wouldn't come back the rest of the week. And I'd mess everything up. It's good to have Sister Crusoe traveling with me. We were in San Antonio for a marriage retreat, and they asked her to preach and just asked me to say amen. And but we did a marriage retreat, then we flew here. And you know, it's funny. Good to see Greg Cuffey and his wife and family. And as you get older, you know, coming from a marriage retreat, and we were walking out the hotel, Sis Cruz and I, and we were holding hands, walking out the hotel, and somebody said, "Oh, they still in love." And I didn't disagree, but the real truth was we were just trying to hold each other up. And she was holding on to me so I wouldn't fall. And yeah, we still in love, but we just had to hold on to each other so we wouldn't fall. But she's here with me, and it's a joy to be able to travel. Good to see the Cuffey family, and there may be some others from Hopewell. I think I saw Sister Rice and April and Diamond and all of those people. It's good to have you here. That's very, very encouraging. If you don't mind standing one more time, Brother Brown said I could make myself at home. And at home, when we read from God's word, we ask if you're able to stand, if you'll stand. And John, the 20th chapter. John 20th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. John chapter 20, beginning with verse number 19. Let me tell you what I want to talk about, then I'll read this text. What I want to talk about is what you miss when you miss church. What you miss when you miss church. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What you miss when you miss church? I want to say when someone misses church, they miss an event that will never return again. And you may hear about what took place at church, but there's nothing like being there for yourself. When I'm gone on the road and one of the members will call, or I'll call to find out how things went in my absence, and they'll say, the brother brought it. He just brought the house down. He just really preached, and they're trying to tell me how it was, but I really can't really get into it because I wasn't there. And even though they are explaining to me how worship was and how church was, because I was not there, I miss the event. I miss all of the passion. I miss all of the excitement. So someone may tell you, we had a good time at church. And I really do try to make folk feel bad when they miss church. Man, you missed the best sermon I ever preached. And you missed the best singing. Oh, the song leader was off the chain. He was off the hook. But when you miss church, it's not, you just can't describe what it's like being there and seeing it for yourself. And there are a lot of reasons why people miss. And I'm talking to you like I would talk to my folk at home. I'm not talking to folk who are sick. You know, you get up in the morning and your head is spinning. You can't even see. You can't even put one foot in. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about folk who put it on their calendar that they go miss church. I know some folk back in Memphis. Well, it's the second Sunday. I'm going to miss church. They plan ahead of time to miss church. I'm not talking to folk who they were on their way to church. Car broke down. You had a flat and you just couldn't get hit. I'm not. Y'all with me? I'm talking about folk who intentionally premeditated have it on their calendar that they just gonna miss church. And we need to realize the times we live in that the world will create situations for you to miss church. Even with our children, there are recreational leagues that will have soccer, football, and softball on the Lord's Day. Y'all don't have to say amen, but and intentionally, and one thing I realize is the devil does not want our children coming to church. And because the devil does not want our children coming to church, the devil will allow some competition, something to distract or attract our children. And I guarantee if you drive around Richmond this morning, you'll probably find in some park or some ball field a soccer team that's playing. Are y'all going to help me with this? On Sunday, because the devil knows that if our children come to church, they'll learn about Jesus. And the devil knows that if our children learn about Jesus, they'll stay away from drugs. They'll stay away from gangs. And the more our children know about Jesus, the better our world will be. And so the devil, but I'm so glad we are in the world, but not of the world. And folk who are really trying to make it to heaven, they realize what the devil is trying to do. And there are a lot of reasons why folk don't like coming to church. Back in Memphis, some folk don't like coming to church because they don't like the preacher. They don't, something I said or some decision we make, and they come up with a reason why they gonna miss church. But I want to tell you this morning that you miss some things when you miss coming to church. Y'all got a minute here? In the 20th chapter of John, this event is after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had died on the cross, just like he said he would. He told a group of folk in John, the second chapter, I believe, that if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. But they thought that he was talking about the building. But he was not talking about a building. He was talking about his body. And now what Jesus had said had come to pass. On Friday, they stretched him wide, propped him low, and then pushed him up high and put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. And he hung on that old rugged cross. And he died just like the prophet said and just like he said. He died on that Friday, and he had been buried. And now the disciples were hiding out of fear. Judas had committed suicide. Thomas was not with them, so it was not 11 disciples in the first half of this narrative. It was only 10. And the 10 are in this room, and they are afraid because their leader had died. Their master had been buried, and now they are hiding. Are y'all with me? In a room because of fear of the Jews. 10 of them are there, and Thomas, who is called Didymus. Didymus means twin, and for whatever reason, Thomas did not show up to this meeting, but the 10 were there, minus Judas and minus Thomas, and they had not selected Matthias yet to replace Judas. And what happened is in the absence of Thomas, some significant things take place in this text. And I want to give you maybe five or six things you miss when you miss church. And it's right in this text. Look at verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible now. So when it was evening on that day, and I'm going to take a look this out of context. If we ever had Bible for night church, here it is right here. It was evening. Are y'all with me? It was evening of the day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. One of the things you miss when you miss church, you miss the power of Jesus. Now, you got to see this, because the doors were shut. And Jesus did not knock on the door, but the doors were shut. He didn't ring the doorbell to get in, but he came through the door. In other words, the Lord had the power to come in even when they wouldn't let him in. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. When you miss church, you miss the power of Jesus. Sometimes the Lord is trying to get in our lives, but we lock him out and we won't let him in. But I came to tell you this morning, even if you try to lock the Lord out of your life, he has the power to come in anyhow. And sometimes the Lord will allow circumstances to come in your life to realize that you need his power to make it from day to day. I wish I had a church this morning. In other words, never get to the point in your life where you think you have arrived or achieved because of your ability. If we arrive or if we achieve, it's because of the power of Jesus Christ. I've been flat on my back sick. We've seen our girls flat on their back sick. And we've had one daughter, Brittany, who was sick. And when she was sick, we didn't know in the beginning what her sickness was. And one of the most humiliating things in my life as a daddy, to have a child who's sick and not be able to do anything for her. And all I could do is ask the church to pray. And Brother Brown called me almost every week, and he was praying. I'm asking the whole brotherhood to pray. But when my baby got well, it wasn't because of my power. It's because of the power of Jesus. And we need to realize that when we miss church, we are missing the power of Jesus. I know he has some power, because if he can get up from the grave on the third day, then surely he can come through a door without knocking. Y'all ought to help me here. And the good thing about Jesus is he doesn't have some power, but he has all power. Y'all gonna help me with this? President Obama has executive power. The House has legislative power. The Supreme Court has judicial power. The mayor has municipal power. But my Lord has all power. Say amen, somebody. And you can't get this power at home. You can't get this power watching TV. You cannot get this power on the golf course. You cannot get this power fishing on Sunday morning. But when you miss church, you miss the power of Jesus. I serve a mighty powerful God. Say amen, somebody. My God is so powerful. He took nothing and he made something
out of nothing. When he got through making something out of nothing, he called it a universe. My God has so much power that he put the sun up in the sky, and he put it so far that it wouldn't burn the earth. And then on the flip side, he put the moon, but he put it in a position where it wouldn't freeze the earth. I serve a God who can turn day into night and night into day. I'm telling you, my God has some power. And if you want the power that he has, you have to be where he is on Sunday morning. So in this text, he came through the door. He didn't knock on the door and ask for permission to come in. Say amen now. And sometimes we lock Jesus out of our lives when he wants to come in to help us be better people. And if we don't let him in intentionally, sometimes he will create a circumstance in our lives. Sometimes we have to lose a job. Say amen now. Lose a job to realize we need his power. So because Thomas was not there, he missed the power of Jesus. But watch this. Not only do you miss his power, but you also miss his presence, because it says Jesus came and stood in their midst. I came to tell you there's a difference between a church and a crowd. See, there's a big difference. Yesterday, there were a whole lot of football games that attracted a crowd, but they didn't attract a church. A couple weeks ago, Janet Jackson was in Memphis, and she attracted a crowd, but she didn't attract the church. Because when we come together as a church, we come together to remember or commemorate the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at football game, they may have a prayer, and they may say a prayer before the game. They may say a prayer at halftime, but they not there to honor Jesus. They are there for another reason. But when we come together on the first day of the week, we come together as the church, and we come together because Jesus shows up. You know, back in Memphis, some folk get a little heartburn when I go out of town and they don't know I'm out of town. And there's always certain folk that want to know when I'm going out of town. And when I'm out of town and they don't know about it, they get all this heartburn, Brother Brown. And where, Brother Crusoe? Did you know Brother Crusoe's out of town? Look, you can still have church if I don't show up. Say amen, somebody. You know, the preacher can run late, and the song leader can be off key, and you can still have church. But if the Lord don't show up, we need to pack up and go back home. Say amen now. See, Jesus not only had power, but when you miss church, you miss his presence. He came and stood in their midst. And the difference between a crowd and a church is a crowd is coming for entertainment purposes, but the church comes together to lift up Jesus. And worship is an experience with God Almighty. I like the way y'all worship here. I like it when folk can get involved in the worship. And I know the five acts of worship, we sing without instrumental music. We gonna pray. We gonna give. We gonna take the Lord's Supper. We're gonna hear some preaching and some teaching gonna be done. I know about the five acts. I don't have anything against the five acts, but I want to suggest that when we come to church, we ought to experience God. It's not something that we watch other folk do. All of us ought to be involved. Say amen, somebody. I mean, it's an experience. It's something that we do. We get involved. We sing. We pray. We are involved in this thing. And I don't know about you. You may not express yourself like I express myself, but we ought to express ourselves when we come together, because God has been good to us. When we were singing that song, Jesus, you've been good to me, ever so good. And my mind went back to some days when I wasn't so good. And my mind went back to some jams the Lord got me out of. Say amen, somebody. My mind went back when I'm struggling to pay a bill. Say amen, somebody. My mind went back when we were so poor we couldn't even pay for the O in poor. Say amen now. We couldn't pay for both O's. We could only pay for one. And then you talk about Jesus. You've been good to me. Now you can be sophisticated if you want to, but every now and then you ought to clap your hands. You ought to say amen. Now a tear ought to come from your eye, because when Jesus shows up, we ought to experience him in worship. And when you miss, I know folk, I take Jesus everywhere I go. Jesus with me everywhere I go. Jesus with me in my car. Jesus with me at the job. Yeah, I understand what you mean by that, but there's a difference between a crowd and a church. And when we come together on the Lord's Day, Jesus shows up. And so when you miss his power, you miss his presence. But thirdly, you miss his peace. Because watch what he says after he came through the door. After he stood in their midst, he said, "Peace be with you." These are the first words of Jesus after he appeared to his disciples. Are y'all with me? Man, I'm in a room. My master has been killed. I don't know where he is. And I'm afraid that the Jews may come after me. And when my master shows up, the first thing he does is calm my nerves by saying, "Peace be unto you." Wish I had a church this morning. Sometimes folk don't realize the word you may need to make it through the week, you miss when you didn't show up. I wish I had a church this morning. Somebody told me, "Oh, I'm struggling. I got it hard. Life is hard. They treat me bad on the job." Well, maybe if you showed up on Sunday morning, you would hear a word in the sermon that would help you make it through the week. Or it may be a song, or it may be a brother's prayer. It may be something in that prayer that the brother said. It may be a verse of that song that when your trouble comes through the week, your mind goes back to what you heard on Sunday morning, what you heard in that prayer, what you sung, and it gives you a peace. I don't know about you, but I need peace. Sometimes we can't even sleep at night. And it ain't because we're going back and forth to the bathroom. We get up and can't toss it and turn it. Don't you need some peace? And Jesus went before he left. He told his disciples, "Now peace I give unto you." And then he talked about, "Now in the world you're going to have tribulation, but I have overcome the world." And the Lord can give us the peace we need. Now, I know folk who have peace because there are folk who are having some trouble, but you never could tell it because they always got a smile on their face. Am I talking to anybody? There are folk who could be just like me, ain't got a dime in their pocket, but they look like $1 million. Say amen now. Are y'all with me? You know why it is? Because they have learned how to have peace. They realize that when you have God and when God has you, you can be walking through trouble. But you realize you are walking through. Don't stay in the trouble. Walk through to the other side. I'm trying to tell you something. There's something about peace. There's something about being a child of God. There's something about understanding that there's no weapons formed against you that shall prosper. There's something that about being God's child that you know that when folk talk about you or when folk are talking behind your back, peace reminds you, look where they are. They behind your back. They not in front of y'all. They didn't hear me now. In other words, they not beside you. They not in front of you. If they talking behind your back, that means you are in front of them. Man, go to sleep and have some peace. I'm trying to help you this morning. See, the child of God can have trouble. But trouble doesn't trouble him because you got some peace. And here's the peace. The peace that we need to have. And all of our souls get weary. Am I right about it? Jesus even said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, he realized that during life, we're going to get weary. We are going to get tired. We're going to get worn down. And none of us are supermen or superwomen or Wonder Woman and Superman. Man, life is tough. Am I right about it? I mean, life can deal us some blows. And sometimes the blows come from folk we don't expect it to come from. I've been in this thing for a while now, and I expect some folk to give me some trouble. And when they give me trouble, I can handle that. But when the folk I don't expect to give me trouble, when the folk that close to me, when the folk that say they love me give me some trouble, it can knock you down. But when you have peace, you go on anyhow. And so here are the disciples up in that room, and they afraid, fearing the Jews. Here comes Jesus through the door. And not only does he come through the door, he stands among them. And then his first words is, peace be unto you. In other words, what we worried about as long as Jesus is around. Are y'all with me here? Man, someone said, well, Bro Crusoe, how long are you going to preach? I'm going to preach till I get through. But I'm going to stay up here as long as I can because I need some peace. This is where my peace comes from. My peace comes from being around the saints. My peace comes from the song leader singing like he sings. My peace comes from hearing a word from the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know who I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know what traps are being laid for me. But I'm going to get my peace on Sunday so I can deal with the devil the rest of the week. Wish I had some help here. I'm talking about peace, and then see that peace not only will bring you to Sunday morning church, it bring you back to night church, and that peace will bring you to midweek Bible class because I just don't need no one dose a week of peace. I need peace that's gonna last me all through the week. Say amen, somebody. Because I need a peace that's 24/7. I need a peace that's constant. I don't need a peace that I can just plug in. Man, I need peace every day, every night, because the devil is hot on my trail, and I need peace, and I can find it when I show up. So I find power, I find his presence, and then I find his peace. But look at verse 20. It says, and when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. The fourth thing you miss when you miss church is you miss his praises. Are y'all with me here? Praises, 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 praises. Somewhere I read, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Man, we ought to look forward to Sunday. We ought to get excited about Sunday. And it's more than, man, I want to show off my new suit or my new tie. I'm looking forward where I can come and praise the Lord. I'm looking forward where I can lift up some holy hands. I'm looking forward to the time where I can praise the Lord for all the goodness he's done unto me. I've noticed folk throughout my ministry. And some folk, they come to church and they go to sleep. They go to sleep. In church. I ain't looking around. I don't know if anybody, but I know someone, they go to sleep. And it just seemed like to me, if you go to sleep, there's a better place than church to go to sleep. Y'all ain't hearing me. I mean, if you go to sleep, wouldn't the bed be more comfortable? Y'all not hearing me here. I mean, if you're going to sleep, might well just stay home in the bed because it's more comfortable lying in a bed than sitting in a chair trying to go to sleep. Y'all ain't helping me now. And then some folks say, well, I took my medication and my medication put me to sleep. Well, can't you take your medication after church? Y'all ain't hearing me here. I mean, why take it and know you're going to go? Man, when I come to church, it's praise time. It's time to look. Y'all getting quiet on me. Back home, that means I need to spend 5 more minutes on this thing. Folk are funny, man. I had one brother. I ain't going to say where it is, but I had one brother. He get an attitude when he come to church. He had attitude. He had attitude with me, so he wanted everybody to know he got attitude with me. So he sit up front and go read the newspaper. Read newspaper while I'm preaching, you know, like that gonna bother me. You know, there's 100 other folk in this church. I ain't paying him no attention. You know, why would you come to church and read the newspaper? Man, you can sit in your car and read the newspaper. Say amen, somebody. I mean, when I come to church, it's time to praise the Lord. And somebody said, well, I ain't got nothing to praise him for. If you're alive, you ought to praise him. Listen. I went to a nursing home not long ago. Are y'all with me? Man, I went to a nursing home. And before I could get in the door of the nursing home, there's folks sitting outside the nursing home in wheelchairs. There are folk who really can't speak. They can't move. They don't have the function of their limbs. And do you realize there are folk who cannot even feed themselves? And if you are able to put one foot in front of the other, if you are able to put your own clothes on, and nobody has to bathe you, y'all not hearing me, you mean to tell me you don't have no reason to praise the Lord? You can put your clothes on, you can cook for yourself, you can feed yourself, you can do for yourself, you have a job, you got a car that starts in the morning, you have a reason to praise the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Sometimes I think we take our blessings for granted. And it just broke my heart. I'm walking through this nursing home. I'm seeing folk, you know, they looking up with that sadness in their eyes. And then you smell the stench in the nursing home of sick folk. And here you are with a good job, eating steak and fish and chicken and turkey and not any processed food. Are y'all with me here? And so when you come to church on Sunday morning, it's a time to be glad. It's a time to have your mind stayed on Jesus. So when you miss your opportunity to rejoice. And then, fifthly, you miss your promotion. Look at verse 21. Jesus says again, peace be unto you. As the Father have sent me, I also send you. Watch this. This is after the resurrection. And now he's getting ready to send them out on a mission. But watch this. They are not promoting themselves. This is the Lord promoting them. I wonder about folk, you know, I'm just talking about my cousins back in Tennessee. I ain't talking about nobody in Virginia. But I have some cousins back in Tennessee. Always want to do this, and I always want to talk about what a good teacher they are, good brother they are, good sister they are. And you know, I wonder about if you all that good, you ain't got to tell me. Somebody will tell me for you. Say amen now. And sometimes folk just promote themselves. And somewhere I read, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Y'all ain't gonna help me with this. But we come to worship. But after we leave worship, we are sent out to serve. And that's our job, to serve. And our job as members of the church is to make life better for other people. I just believe the Lord's church, as Christians, that we are the body of Christ put on earth to make this world a better place. And I believe as members of the body of Christ that our job is to open doors for other people. And I just believe that if you open enough doors for other people, somewhere in the economy of time, doors will be open for you. But our job is to help folk, to make life better, to see the good in people and be a door opener for other people, help people advance, help them to become all that the Lord wants them to be. And instead of promoting yourself, get in the business of serving. That's ministry. That's making this world a better place. I don't know if you realize it, but that show that comes on TV the first 48 hours, and the first 48 hours, for some reason, they pick on the city of Memphis. I mean, Memphis is always on the first 48 hours. They showing this and they showing that. And you know why Memphis is in a bad shape? Because there's too many folk in Memphis that don't know Jesus. I say all the time, you know, we've got a literacy program. We had one at Norris Road. We have one at East End now. And some folks say, well, the church ought not be doing that. That ain't the business of the church, to be teaching folk how to read. Well, come on now. Let's talk to each other. If a man cannot read, he's going to have a difficult time getting a job. A man who does not have a job, if he don't know the Lord, he may rob you. Are y'all with me? So it just make a lot of sense to me to teach him to read so he won't be robbing me. Say amen, somebody. Come on now. And then it gets a little personal. My wife goes shopping. She go grocery shopping. And in Memphis, they carjacking folk. They will wait for you to come out the grocery store. Here's a man who can't read, ain't got a job, and he's desperate, want to take my wife's car, want to carjack her and all that. Well, if I teach him to read, maybe he'll get him a job and work for himself. Y'all ain't hearing me here. We ought to be in the business of making this world a better place. And so Jesus, he showed his power, he showed his presence, and then he gave them some peace. And then they start praising him because they rejoiced when they saw him. And then he sent them out. He promoted them. And the world needs to see Christ when we leave this building. But then lastly, in verse 22, watch this. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, the way I'm using this is we need protection. And the Holy Spirit is our helper. Say amen, yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I need some help. And my help needs to come from above. And I need someone with me all the time. I need someone when I can't call Brother Brown from long distance. I need a presence inside of me. I need somebody when my wife is not close by that will remind me who I am and will remind me of my responsibility. I need a helper. I need a comforter. I need a counselor. I need somebody that will link me to my Heavenly Father. And Jesus said he breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now we know we receive the Holy Spirit when we are baptized in water and for the remission of our sin, and God gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. But there's also another passage that talks about the Holy Spirit being our seal in Ephesians 1, and the Bible tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We realize that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. He's there to help us to be the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. In Memphis, I'm always on my teachers, if you're going to teach a class, teach a Bible class. Don't be teaching your opinion. Don't be teaching no philosophy. Don't be teaching no fable. Don't spend the whole Bible class time talking about what happened to you in the third grade. Give my folks some Bible. Give them the Word of God. I wish I had some help here, because if we're going to be productive, if we're going to be forceful in this world, we need the Word of God. And when we we preach, we got to preach with fire. We got to preach with fervor. We got to preach the word of God. Give folk the Bible. The Bible is still right. Am I right about it? It was good then and it's good now. And we need to breathe on folk. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God's word. We need to be directed by that word. We need to be empowered by that word. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so when we miss power. When we miss his presence. When we miss peace, praises, promotion, and protection. And somebody said, well, I didn't see all that. Well, that's why God brought you here this morning. Because it's not like, you know, I think sometimes folk think they doing me a favor by showing up. Well, I'm glad you came, but really, you're not doing me a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. Say amen, somebody. And sometimes folks just take church so lightly. And you know, in the South, in Memphis, you know, I don't think folk in the South could live up here because, man, if it just looked like it's going to rain. I mean, it just looked like it's going to rain. Or if the temperature dropped and what they call snow in the South, it ain't snow. Y'all wouldn't call that snow. But for the slightest thing that they want to shut down. But I want to say this. We miss when we miss. And what we miss is the power of Jesus. The presence of Jesus. The peace that he gives. The praise of Jesus, the protection of Jesus, and the promotion of Jesus. All of that is missed when you miss. And God set up a church. Are y'all hearing me here? He set up a church that folk could be saved in. Because God loves us so much. Watch this. He loves us better than we can love ourselves. Amen, somebody. Yeah, he loves us. And he said, look, if you worship me, if you're faithful to me, I'll give you 50, 60, 70, maybe 80 plus years down here. And if you just worship me, be faithful to me and hang in there for those 50, 60, 70, 80 plus years. Are y'all with me? If you do that for the time I give you down here, I'll give you eternity. Best deal in town. Y'all ain't hearing me here. The best deal in town for the limited time that we're here on earth, for what he's going to give us in the after while, that's the best deal in town. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, God requires five things for you to do. It's what all of us did to become a child of God. We had to hear the gospel. After hearing it, we had to believe it. After believing, we had to repent of our past sins. We had to make up our mind that we're going to do the right thing. We're going to go in the right direction. We had to make a confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we were baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And there's Bible for all of that. Hearing, Romans 10:17. Believing, Hebrews 11:6. Repentance, Acts 3:19. Confession, Romans 10:9-10. And then baptism, Acts 2:38. If you do that and then remain faithful, God said he'll save you. He'll give you a crown of life. To those of us who are members of the church, hang in there. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Hold to God's unchanging hand, because after a while, he's going to reward us for doing the right thing. I don't know. There may be one or more who needs to come. Will you come? Right now, as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.